Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message.
Wow, so great to be back with you. I'm thankful for Pastor Otis and Ivy teaching on prophecy, and they're going to continue with that teaching this morning, finish it up. Next week, I just want to let everybody know that I will be teaching from Daniel, the second chapter of Daniel, a dream that the king of Babylon had. This is a very important historical event that took place because from Babylon to our time, that dream that he had predicted and predicts everything that's going to take place in the kingdoms that's going to arise. So it's just read that, read chapter 2, and we'll talk a little bit about it next week. I'll give you some more insight, understanding of what's taking place. Maybe you've never read that one before. You're not aware of the historical value of that particular dream, or maybe you've never been taught on it. But I want you to understand, it is one of the prophetic scriptures in the Word of God. If we took that one alone, it would prove that the Bible we have is the Word of God. I'm telling you, it's that powerful. So read it. Be prepared. Next week we'll talk about it. Pastor Otis, Ivy, it's all yours.
You know, what's amazing there, Pastor, is you said that about Daniel, and I've been in Daniel all week. All week, that's been, I've just been focusing on Daniel, and that's what God has had in my heart. And so I'm just glad to hear it. I'm hearing what you're hearing, you know. That's awesome.
Bless God. Oh, I always forget. I always forget I have to turn this master thingy down. I did it today. I don't think I did it last week. My bad. My bad. Oh, okay, before we get started, everybody just point to Pastor Otis and say, you were right. He was right. He was right that the woman who came in and spoke to Belshazzar, it was his mother, not his wife. So, you know, we're gonna let him have that today. He's doing a circle. We're gonna let him have that today. So, oh, do you feel good?
I'm not one to say I told you so. Well,
Yeah, he is.
No, we tease around, and you know what? There's such a freedom that comes in knowing that you don't have to know everything.
Yes.
And so if you ask me a question about the scripture, or I will tell you this stuff I've forgotten about the scripture that I used to have memorized and learned and rehearsed. So I don't feel stressed. I was like, kind of like, okay, we'll check it out and get back to you. But I had remembered, because it said queen. It said the queen, but really, when you get down into the text, it was, and even the fact that she was able to recount what Nebuchadnezzar had witnessed with Daniel, and as you study that out a little bit more, you realize it's not his wife. It's more like his grandmother and mother, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So very good.
Thank you, baby.
Very good. You want to pray? Give my voice a minute.
Okay. Yes. Yes, ma'am. All right, so it's good to see everybody. We're going to open up with prayer, and we're going to get busy. But I must say, I love, just seriously, I said this earlier, to look out. You don't see yourselves, but man, when God gets all over you, I can just see a lightness. And some of you had your hands up, and I seriously almost thought, we better wrap something around their ankle because they're about to fly off like balloons, you know, just take off. And when God comes in and you let him have his way, there's such a weight that was lifted off, and we get to hear what he really wants to say. So That's our prayer for today, that we will hear what the Lord wants us to hear. Father God, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. I thank you for the demons that are defeated, the strongholds that are defeated in each individual's lives, Father God. And not only that, but it will manifest in the victory for this church as a whole. I thank you for it right now. Continue to do such a great work. I know you finished it work, the work, Father God, but I thank you that we will come into the revelation of it and walk in the manifestation of it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we want to continue with our objective to talk about prophecy and why it's important. And so I'm just going to do a short recap. And part of the reason why I'm the one who's doing the recap is because Otis will just preach it all again. He'll just preach the whole thing again like you didn't hear it last week. Mm-hmm. Like you can't go on the podcast and listen to it yourself. So I'm going to do it real quick. So we're talking about prophecy. We're talking about prophecy and why it's important. And we with the understanding that God desires that his people be established in present truth. Present truth is having an understanding and lived experience of the doctrines that God has established in the church. It is having an understanding and lived experience of the doctrines that God has established in the church. And we talked about two of those doctrines, one being that all scripture is verbally inspired, it is inerrant, it is infallible, it's always right, period. We also discussed that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to believers who ask for it. And with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are endowed with power. And we experienced some folks getting baptized in the Holy Spirit last week. And I don't know, I kind of sense we need to do that again today. Mm-hmm. Yes, I sense that we need to do that again today. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is good. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's something, it's a blessing, it's a gift that the Lord has given us so that we can instantaneously be where he is. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're instantaneously where he is. We also discussed the definition of prophecy, and prophecy is communication from God. A prophecy is a message that's inspired by God. It is a divine revelation. And yes, prophecy is still flowing today. You know how we know? Because God's still talking. He Amen. Still has a mouth. And he still wants his people to hear words from his mouth. The prophecy never, never, ever, ever is contrary to the Bible.
Nope.
It's never contrary to the Bible. It is rooted in the Logos when it's done correctly. When prophecy has been done incorrectly, it's people trying to, you know, just make up stuff because it feels good at the time. But we don't do that here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, yes, prophecy is for today.
And before you go on, babe, you threw out logos, so let's just make sure. When you hear the word logos, really it's just the written word of God.
It's a Greek word.
Unsaved folks can read logos. Okay? You can read the Bible. The logos word of God, okay? So that's just the clear word of God, but when it becomes rhema, and I shared this a little bit last time, the rhema is when that logos is illuminated and becomes present truth for what's going on right now, something God wanted you to know. So when that thing is illuminated, it becomes a rhema word to you, okay?
Amen.
So just
Amen.
Since you threw that out.
Since you threw that out, I'm going to throw out some more.
Uh-oh, see? Now, she said she could do a quick summary, y'all.
Don't start nothing, won't be nothing.
Uh-huh.
So, when we're talking about rhema, I like to think of rhema like, because, you know, I don't know, this may be too girly for some of you guys, but whatever, it works. I like to think of rhema as a pink highlighter. Rhema is when the Lord just takes a pink highlighter over his word or over a prophetic word that is spoken to you, and it just illuminates it, and it makes it more real, and it makes it more, he brings more understanding to it, so much so that you just want to chase after that thing, and you want to study that thing, and you want to hear that thing more and over and over and over. That's what rhema is. Have you experienced that? Yeah, that's the reason why when you read a passage of scripture, sometimes you go back to it, and it's like, huh, I didn't think of it that way before. I hadn't thought of it that way before. And so it's important that when we're going through the Bible, that we actually take time, that we're not reading it like it's a novel. Okay? We want to take some time so that the Lord, so that Holy Spirit will make it rhema to us.
All right, and before we go on, since present truth is up there, just a little nugget, something the Lord dropped in my spirit about this, and I didn't say it last week, but when we're talking about rhema, and we talk about that word coming alive or the illumination of the logos and it being something relevant, somebody right next to you might not realize the scripture that means something to you today means nothing to them because they're going through something different. They could go to another spot of scripture and God illuminates that for them and it means nothing to you because it's what you go through. And so as I'm looking at this, I was reminded of my nephew who passed away. And when they were doing the Army, and I can't remember which, no, it was Army. I was gonna say I can't remember which branch of the military, but anyway, they got to this one point where I heard them say, present. They were going through doing their ceremony, the piece, I don't even know all that goes into it, but they were doing their piece in the military and they said, present. And they presented, the flag and all that. But God told me about this present truth. It's kind of like how we say, talk about faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? But it's now. Now. And we have to be prepared to present the truth at a given time. And so just like God illuminates a certain truth to you, it becomes present when it's relevant to you. Amen. Even though we know it's true all the way along, when you God speaks to you in a moment, he illuminates it and it makes it present. Okay?
That's the reason why he desires for us to have an understanding and a lived experience.
Yes.
Okay? This is not our relationship with the Lord, our life in the Lord. It's not just clocking in, clocking out. Okay? It is a lived experience. Amen? And so last week, we also went through the ways that prophecy was presented or is presented. It's presented through dreams, through visions, through movement, through the spoken word, and through words that are written. Okay? So that is what we discussed last week. That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
That's pretty good.
Not bad, baby.
No, pretty good.
All right.
Go down.
So we're going to jump into, and listen, you already heard, it's really nice on our webpage too. I knew this was out there, but I went out to the webpage. Not only do we have, can you go to YouTube and see different things or Facebook and see video, but there's a nice listing of all of our messages. And if you click on it, you can watch the video or listen to the audio of it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and all the doctrines that we believe, they are also on our webpage. Go to the webpage and click what we believe, and they're all listed there, and that's what we believe.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So I heard somebody say, what do we believe? Yes, it's all on the website. It's all on the website.
So we're going to jump into today's message, and we're going to talk about how God used prophecy, okay? And again, just to remember, anytime we're sharing a word, it's not just so that you'll be educated in what God wants. And this church does a great job of making sure we're educated from so many, all the different gifts that we have in this church. But it's also so you'll be prepared to have a ready defense when you're talking to people in the community. Because you'll hear different things. People might say something about Bethel, and you'll be able to say, that is off base. That's not what we believe. That's not what the Bible says. So you need to be prepared for that as well, to speak up and be God's voice, not just for Bethel, but just so folks will understand what the truth of the word is. Okay? So that's why we're doing this. So we're going to start here dealing with how God used prophecy. And so we're going to look in 2 Chronicles 20, and we're going to look at verse 13 through 17. And basically, we want to understand that he used prophecy to alert and warn his people. I know I'm not you're not hearing anything new. Well, some of you may be hearing something new, but we've seen it. You've seen it in your life, even if you haven't taken notice of it. He has been moving and speaking to you and showing you things that helps alert you and warn you to certain things. So here in Chronicles, you want to read that?
Yeah. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 13 through 17. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by ascent to of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you."
So you've heard us share this many times as far as that's one of my favorite scriptures of as far as a story of how God moved for the people of God. We use it a lot of times with praise and worship because what we didn't notice in there, and if you read that whole scripture, is here you got Jehoshaphat. He's fearful because all these armies have come against him and they didn't know what to do. Put everybody on a fast, the cattle. I mentioned this last week. Everybody went on a fast to hear what God wanted to say. And the young man gets up and speaks those words. Now, I want you to know, when you hear a prophetic word, when you receive a prophecy, it is important not to size that prophecy up based on the giver. Okay? That young man, it does not show any other place that he spoke. Okay? He was just in the crowd, and God decided to move on him, and he spoke. And so what we don't want to do is, as we're hearing a word, dismiss him and say, "Oh, I've never heard this guy share a word before." No, we need to listen for the truth of what is being said. And God will witness. He'll bear witness with his word. But as he shared that word, they should have got, and they did, get confident. They got instruction. They were told about what to do. God said, "I'm fighting this battle for you." And so they had some things to do to obey. And when they went out and sent out the praisers before him, before the army, such a noise was made by their worship that the enemy's camp turned on each other and destroyed each other. By the time Jehoshaphat's crew got there, they just had the spoils to collect. Amen?
That's my kind of war.
Yeah.
When you ain't got to do nothing but just go out and pick up all the stuff, the gold. That's a war right there.
Absolutely. And I can't help but bring this back to, and for me, I always see it as run the route God tells you to run, like in football. Run the route you're supposed to run, and the ball will be there. Run with all you've got to that place. Trust God to put the ball there. And when you do that, God's provision meets you there. But if you go outside of where he told you, if you run where you're not supposed to, the ball's not going to be there. It's not going to get done.
That's right.
And so that could have turned out another way.
Amen, amen. So God uses prophecy to instruct. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 19 and 20. In this passage of scripture, Saul, we're talking about King Saul before he became king. Saul's father, Kish, told him to go out. The donkeys got out again. Go find the donkeys. And so Saul took his servant, and they went to go look for the donkeys. And they were looking for 3 days. In verse 19, it says, let me say a bit more. And so they had been looking for so long, for 3 days. They could not find these donkeys. And Saul was like, you know, maybe we need to go on and get back home, because pretty soon my father's going to be more worried about us than the donkeys. And so Saul's servant said, "Hey, you know, there's a prophet here. Let's go and see the seer, and maybe he can give us some instruction as to where the donkeys are." Yes, people took those types of issues to the seer or the prophet. Seer, prophet, those two words are synonymous. So, yes, we can take those types of issues to the Lord. God, here's an example that Otis and I dealt with probably a couple of years ago. A couple in the church came to us and they said that there's a business opportunity that they were thinking of, and they were wondering if they should buy this certain thing. And so they came to us as prophets and they asked us to seek the face of the Lord and ask the Lord if this was a venture or a new business that they should strike out. And we sought the Lord and we told them what the Lord said. So in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 19 and 20, Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house?" So he told them the donkeys have been found, and then later Samuel tells them where to go to get the donkeys. Oh, and then he also anoints Saul to be king of Israel. So isn't that fun?
I love how
God's like, it's like they out looking for donkeys, and oh, guess what? You're fitting to be king. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome. So you know, listen. We're just trying to encourage you, and this story is coming to my mind when we were. It amazes me the things God does. He still, as long as we've been prophesying and hearing God's voice and the things He speaks to us, I'm still blown away with how accurate God is. While we were in Arizona, we were ministering at Greg Ramey and Kim's church, Kim and Greg Ramey's church.
We were supposed to be on vacation.
Yeah, we did three services.
We did wound up doing three services and prophesying and laying hands on the church.
But this young man came up. He wasn't young, but he came up, and I had a word for him, and I started speaking just what I heard God say. And I said, "No longer will you fight." I said, "I see a very small straw, and you're sucking air through it, and God wants you to have a full supply. No longer will you suck through that small straw and draw your breath. But God is opening that up, and you're going to breathe deep, and you're going to be full." And I just start prophesying to him. And everybody's kind of going off. I didn't think anything about it. So then after I was done, we were doing worship. And after I was done, folks came up and said, "Do you realize just recently he got off of oxygen? He had been on oxygen tubes in his nose and everything, and he fought for his breath, but they prayed for him, and God has started moving in him, and he's free of that oxygen." And he said, "You were preaching, you were sharing right on." Yes, God is awesome. Now, I want you to know, I don't say that to say, "Oh, look at what I did," because guess what? Right after that, I could have said something to Ivy that I didn't realize was insensitive, or something could have been happening to my kids, and I could have been clueless. I just was in the vein and heard what God had to say. But in that, God built my faith to say, "Son, yes, I'm still in charge, and yes, I'm still moving. You can still hear." So I want you to know that this thing, anybody who tries to tell you prophecy is dead and your church doesn't have to function that way, God still has a prophecy in place because he still wants to speak to his people, and he still uses others to speak to each other. Amen? But, of course, we always have to come back to it should never be anything outside of the Word of God that goes against the Word of God.
And I think it's important in this moment. I just really sense that it's important for us to see and understand the plan of the enemy. The world would, and honestly, it's not even just the world, because some of the church they're beginning to preach this from their pulpits as well. So it's not only of the world, but the enemy would desire for us to think, "Oh, your conscience is speaking." There's something, your conscience is inside of you, and it tells you to go right. It tells you to go left. It tells you what's right and what's wrong. And if you don't have a conscience, then you're psychotic. That means you're mentally ill. Now, there's a tiny bit of truth in that, but there's a whole lot of a big fat lie in that as well. We have Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit tells us to go right. Holy Spirit tells us to go left. Holy Spirit tells us what's right. He tells us what's wrong. Mm-hmm. The world would desire for us to think that it's we ourselves that decide what's right and what's wrong. No, it's the Lord.
That's right.
And he put it in the Bible to tell us what is right and what is wrong. Mm-hmm. Do not allow yourself to be persuaded by that argument. It is a lie.
Amen.
The world would desire to silence or to quiet the voice of Holy Spirit. No, God is still talking.
Amen.
He's still leading. He's still guiding and instructing. And he's also correcting. We cannot fall for that silliness.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to move on here. God also uses prophecy to bring correct behavior. And so when we look in 2 Kings chapter 5, 21 and 22, you want me to read that or you go? Okay, I've got it. Save your voice, babe.
Yes, I have been fighting a sinus infection since January, and this thing's trying to hold on, and it's on my last nerve.
Yeah.
Tired of
it's
it.
It's all right. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
It's going away. So in 2 Kings 5, 21 and 22, as you see there, I can't remember which version we gave you. I have NIV here. Do we know what that is?
I think
okay. So it might be slightly different, but so Gehazi hurried after Naaman. So let's see, there's a lot to this. We had to pick pieces to pull out, but basically keep in mind that, Naaman needed to be healed. We know the story. Most of you know the story, but Naaman had some issues with his skin. I mean, he had bumps, all kinds of leprosy all over him. And, you know, they couldn't just go anywhere. And so he went to the man of God. He heard about this man of God, and he was told to go and dip 7 times. He wanted to dip in a certain body of water that was a little cleaner, but he was told to dip in something that was kind of nasty and didn't want to do it. We heard that story. So that story is not the point of what we're talking about right now. What we do want to bring to is after Naaman dipped and he came up, he said his skin was like baby skin. He was just, his skin was just so fresh. And he was so excited, he wanted to give the man of God gifts. He wanted to bless the man of God. And anyway, Elisha said, no, that's all right. I don't need it. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I don't need it. That's okay. I'm just happy it all worked out, blah, blah, go on your way. Well, here's Gehazi, his servant. What is wrong with Master? Makes me think of Lord of the Rings. Master! No, anyway, I'm sorry. I've digressed. but anyway, here Gehazi is seeing this, and it's like, this is not cool. We got an opportunity to benefit from what you just did, Master, and so that's where we pick up here. In 21, so Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. Is everything all right? He asked. And in 22, everything is all right, Gehazi answered. My master sent me to say, 2 young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing. Now, I'm not going to read all of this here, but we know good and well he didn't say that to him. So Gehazi's lying. Jump down to verse 25. When he went in and stood before his master, now understand, he did this thing and Gehazi or Naaman gave him what he asked for. But now here you got Gehazi going before his master. When he went in and stood before his master, Elisha asked him, where have you been, Gehazi? Your servant didn't go anywhere, Gehazi answered. But Elisha said to him, was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? My goodness, that bad boy would preach. Is this the time to take money or accept clothes? Or olive groves, or vineyards, or flocks and herds, or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. So reason we're pointing this piece out is just to remember there's a corrective action that can come. God can use prophecy to correct. Now, some people, if you look it up, if you Google it, if you talk to other ministers, you will hear some people preach and say, God never uses prophecy to correct. That is an error, okay? Now, I will tell you, a lot of times you will hear prophets, someone called to the office of the prophet, will bring correction, a stronger correction, okay? But even in the New Testament, when it talks about edification, exhortation, and comfort, a prophetic word is to bring those three things, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Even in that process, it can be a corrective action. Somebody tells you, your fly is open. Now, I'm not saying you got to receive prophecy for this. But seriously, somebody helps, or I'm notorious. When I see somebody with their collar up and they're talking to tons of friends and nobody tells them their collar up, they can be a stranger to me. Ivy will tell you. If I see them, I'm going to say, hey, hold up, come in. They're like, what? I like, your collar's up. Now, that didn't hurt, right? It didn't hurt them. They're probably happy that I did it, but I did correct something, right? I corrected something. So this notion that prophecy does not correct is false. Correction should bring about, it should edify you, it should build you up, it should set you on the right path, okay? So you're not to be condemned or you're not to be left in shambles, but the truth is sometimes a corrective word from an office, someone in the office of a prophet, it can tell you, Hezekiah, God has seen your actions and you're going to be dead real soon. You ain't building up nobody with that word, right? That's a prophetic word. So God can bring correction.
Or what we talked about last week in Daniel 5, Belshazzar, Daniel came in and told Belshazzar, because the hand come out and wrote the word on the wall. And Daniel told Belshazzar what the word meant. After Daniel interpreted the written word on the wall, Belshazzar died shortly after.
That night,
and his kingdom was plundered. So there is, prophecy does tell us, it does bring about corrective action.
Yeah, so the one thing to hear about this, and I didn't go to the scripture, but there's different scriptures you can look at, but you can see where people have fixed things after hearing a corrective or hearing a prophecy. And they got on their face or they got right. And I mean, it was David when he lost his son because he slept with Bathsheba and sent her husband out on the line. He, you know, yeah, he lost his son, but he had to get correct. He had to get fixed. Hezekiah was able to add to his life because he sought the Lord. He fixed some things and God was. So understand there could be some good outcomes. Sometimes there's not a good outcome. Okay.
Amen. So those are just a few examples of how God used and how God uses prophecy. Now we want to move to the benefits of personal prophecy. Prophecy can be directed to you as an individual. It can also be directed to us as a group. Like this morning, we heard a prophetic word for our entire congregation. But today, we want to talk more specifically about personal prophecy. The benefits of receiving a personal prophecy is that it can reveal God's purpose for our lives. Personal prophecy can just explain to us, why does God have us here? And each one of us have a different purpose. And we can ask God, God, what is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? And God will answer that for us because He wants us to continue to progress and move forward. And frankly, he appreciates when we ask.
Yes.
Secondly, prophecy brings revelation of his plan to us. It brings the strategies. It tells us, you know, don't do this right now. Do this later. Or it'll say, in a coming season, you will be doing this. Right now, you should be planning and preparing for this coming season. Personal prophecy is valuable to reveal strategy.
I'm thinking of a young man from Botswana. His mother, before he came here, his mother was studying at OU, and she was a professor as well, and Dr. Lucky, and such a sweet person. But we met her son on the phone before meeting him in person, and he was like just 13. Now he's probably 36 or so, married, has two kids, but he's a blessed guy. But something he said to me, and I'm thinking about strategy, that's what I'm getting to. Even in picking a spouse, there was this one point in his life, he was so driven by what he wanted to do in life and what he thought God wanted him to do. If you mentioned to him anything about having a girlfriend or are you getting married, he wasn't having it.
But his mama would use us to prophesy or encourage him
not
to
prophesy,
get,
but.
Well, I put quotes around it to tell us, or she'd say, I need you to exhort him to get married. He needs to be married. And I said, Lucky, he don't want to get married.
Right.
But she was not trying to hear that.
So he was not having it. And we talked to him. He said, hey, I got things to do. I ain't thinking about fooling with no women. And so I guess I'm trying to say, well, now he's happily married, but he had a plan. God can speak to you even in that. When you select someone and you're trying to figure out, do I go here? When you're trying to choose a school that you might go to, when you're trying to decide who to partner with in business, if you're going to open up a shop, whatever, let God speak to you. Because, sure, he should speak to you through your word. He should be able to speak to you by giving you a witness with what you've heard from someone. Even if it's a prophetic word, God will give you a witness. But he uses all of these different things to speak to us. And sometimes it will be a prophetic word from somebody telling you a strategy. Watch out for this one. So just know, don't put parameters on what God is able to speak to you. There's sometimes I will tell you, don't even think. And I would say don't get too bogged down with not being able to move unless you hear God on everything. So God doesn't have to dress you. God doesn't have to tell you the right type of shoes to wear today. God doesn't have to tell you, go on this road. But sometimes he does.
Yes, he does.
There have been times that God said, I go to reach for something. Nope, don't get that one. That's the wrong tie. Well, that's weird. God is not really caring about our outfits. Most of the time, that is true. But there are times, if you know his voice, and he says, do this or wear that. I told you last week how he told me to play a song for somebody while I was playing at a restaurant. It wasn't even church. But God can speak to you even in a restaurant and say, play You Are So Beautiful. And then you find out the power of what he did. So
32 years ago, the Lord told me to put on a particular T-shirt.
Uh-oh. Y'all, she done went to messing.
It's
y'all
true. Because you said God don't tell you what to wear. But he does. He does. 32 years ago, the Lord told me to put on a particular T-shirt. And I put that shirt on. And 32 years later, I'm married to this guy. Because he liked my shirt.
Yeah. We'll say that.
It's the truth anyhow. It's true. It's true.
That is true. That is true. And she cleaned it up.
32 years later.
She used to tell that story years ago, and it was embarrassing because she said a lot more in those. But yes,
I cleaned it up.
She got my attention. Let's just say it that way.
But you are all intelligent people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know what I'm saying.
Read between the lines. Amen.
Yes. You know what I'm saying.
Thanks for not going too far,
32 baby. 32 years, baby.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're done. No. I know.
I have discombobulated him. He don't know where he is.
No, I'm thinking because sometimes I'm speaking to people who move prophetically, and I just want you to know, I could share all kinds of little examples, but sometimes it can be the smallest thing, and God might say, don't go eat with them today. Instead, go over here. and you'll find out that he had something arranged for you to meet someone. I can't say how many times he's done that. One young lady was going to take her life, and I didn't know it. I didn't go to eat with all my buddies, and this was back when I was still in school at the cafeteria. I wanted to go eat with them, and as I was going to eat with them, I was walking out the door and said, guys, I can't go with you. They said, what's up, man? I said, you know what? I really feel I need to go do something else. And God took me to another place. I didn't know why he didn't want me to go, but I caught this young lady, who we're friends even now, but she was deciding to end her life, and God took me to her. Now, if I had just brushed that off, silly, I would have missed it. I would have missed it. So never underestimate those things that some people call coincidence or I just had a notion. No, God's talking to you. Amen? All right, so I'm going to move on so I don't take too long. What time is it? Okay, so also one of the benefits is the fact that he's protection. His prophetic word will prove to be protection for our lives. So I want to look here in 1 Samuel 7. I know we got a lot of different scriptures up, but we really wanted to have scriptures to make the point. And this here is the prophet Samuel, and he's speaking to the to Israel. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 3 and 4, and then we're going to jump down to 10. I know you don't have 10.
It says, then Samuel spoke to all house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And now I'm going to jump down to verse 10, and it says, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel.
So in 3 and 4, Samuel spoke to them and told them, put that stupid stuff away that is against God, obey God, and he'll be your protection. He will guard you. He'll be your protection. Now, that was him speaking a prophetic word to them, instructing them. But you notice there in 10, thank you. In 10, I wanted to bring this piece up because now it was displayed. His behavior, God being a protector was displayed. God roared so much through thunder. He caused thunder to be so crazy and loud and destructive that, again, just like I talked about with Jehoshaphat, this one caused them to be all thrown off, and they fought against each other, and God ended up protecting people. So you can get a prophecy that will tell you, will protect you. And a lot of times we think about being protected from someone trying to do us harm physically, but sometimes God can protect you from bad decisions. God can tell you of plans, or there's so many times that God has talked to me and through someone told me, you're going to live and not die, or something the enemy was trying to scare me with, which getting those type of calls from a doctor is very, very scary. But then God says, look, I mean, there's a prophetic word I had years ago I'm still clinging to. And this young lady spoke this to me, Sabrina Coleman. Pastor Rob, I don't know if you remember Sabrina Coleman. Years ago, she spoke to me and she said, the Lord says no fatal disease will ever come upon your body. She spoke that word to me years ago, and I've always clung to it. I've held that word and said, God said it. And when the doctor tells me, you've got this, you know, he'll say, you've got something. I say, thank you, doctor. I appreciate you sharing that with me. I don't receive it, but that's cool. I know you got to tell me what you see, and that's fine. I don't.
Right now in this moment, I'm going to try really hard to not cry. But I was able to witness a protective word spoken over a girl, a college student, I think, in the line at Dairy Queen with Dr. Francine Childs. And I love Dr. Childs, and she's just I marvel at her gift. I marvel at her zeal. She's a wonderful woman. And I remember after service one Sunday, we just all went to Dairy Queen. It was hot. in the actually the church that we, the church building we were using at that time, it didn't have air conditioning, and the windows in the building didn't open. So we were very, very hot. And so we went to Dairy Queen, and we're standing in line, and we get up to the register. And I, all of a sudden, Dr. Childs, she just looked up at this young woman, and she said, "That's not love." She said, "That sucker bite on your neck is not love. His hits are not love. His kicks are not love." And she just prophesied over that girl and told her to get out of the situation that she was in and that her life was in jeopardy. And I just remember, I remember thinking in that moment, because I was still kind of like babyish in the prophetic, and I remember just initially feeling very, very embarrassed and hot. Like, oh my gosh, she's doing this in the line at Dairy Queen, and we just wanted to get a dilly bar. And I'm seriously, that's what I thought. I was like, I just wanted to get a dilly bar. And the girl just, she just started crying instantly. And she looked at Doc and she said, "Help me." And Doc was able to minister to her. And I pray and I trust that she got out of that situation. God's voice does bring protection for our lives.
Amen. Amen. Also, he speaks, it speaks to God's provision. So there's so many examples. I'm not going to bring out one scripture for you on this here, but when you just think through prophetic words or times, stories you've heard through the Bible of the provision of God. One that I'm thinking of is just how Jesus, when he spoke, he knew all the details. It was like he had a format or the floor plan on everything, and so he was able to tell his servants, you know, go over there, and there's going to be a donkey that's going to be tied to, you know, tied to this certain a white donkey that's going to be tied to this house, and just go and take it, you know, and those type of things of, I've got you, I've already made that happen for you. And so you've got a scripture where even the fish, where they would talk about having to pay taxes, and Jesus was able to, hey, go over there and get a fish and open its mouth. You know, it's just, it blows you away.
There was a gold coin in it, inside the fish, and they used it to pay the taxes.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a fun story.
It is. Gets you in trouble, though. One time I was over at this one place. When I was in Shanghai, China, I was over there, and they have fish in the little thing for the meals, and I was in there trying to get coins and stuff out of them. People like, little boys like, man, get down from that. Anyway, that didn't happen. I'm just being stupid. I know. Hey, I'm just being silly, y'all.
I don't even understand the purpose.
She's like, why did you even share that? You know, I'm going to tell you real quick, it was funny, because Ivy and my kids, they say, you're not funny. And I just got done speaking to the Athletes in Action on Monday night. And these are football players. There was about four OU football players and a diver and all these different athletes there. Ivy and I get up there. We have 20 minutes to speak to them. And I'm trying to be my old self. I think I'm funny. I told a couple silly jokes. That place was dead. Nobody laughed. I was like, whoa. See, they did laugh at some things, but they weren't laughing where I wanted them to laugh.
He's more accustomed to being with people like y'all who give him, like, you know, the
courtesy laughs.
The courtesy laughs. And they were like, we don't know you like that. And I finally just said, I looked at him, I was like, your jokes are not funny.
And I said, I bind you, Satan.
It was just not.
Anyway, all right, I'm sorry. I digressed. But I like to laugh, and if I can be the joke, I'll be the joke. Okay, so anyway. So, again, God does speak provision through his servants. He will tell you. There's people I've spoken to. I remember speaking to a young lady. It said, by next week, you're going to have a different job. Now, I don't always throw out a timeline. But when I definitely hear it, I'm telling it. And that lady got a promotion, and it was within that timeline. God speaks provisions. God will also speak peace and encouragement. If you look in 1 Corinthians 14, y'all pray for me that I get some good jokes so that I won't have to Look silly.
1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men.
Right. So we already talked about that a little bit earlier, but Ivy just shared the situation with Doc speaking to this young lady. It was a word of knowledge as well, but even though it revealed something that was hard and difficult,
if she addressed it,
right, in DQ, Dairy Queen, if she addresses it, peace comes after. It can bring a resolution to some things.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And so God will speak encouragement and his peace to us.
Yes.
It's just a thing of listen to him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Many times he'll tell you, you've got this. Also, prophecy will bring you closer. Prophecy will bring you closer to God. When you realize that God is listening and God is so aware. Now, we say stuff all the time as Christians. And we are so churched at times. We say stuff like God sees. He knows. But then when he shares that with somebody else and they tell you something intimate that you didn't think they should know, clearly you're like, whoa, God is real. Now, yes, we say we know this, but when he shows up and does exactly what he said he was going to do, we're still a little bit surprised, right? We shouldn't be.
Right.
Because everything we read about in the Bible, our God is still doing today.
Yes. Yes.
There's things he reveals to us that he wants to speak to each other. And it should bring us closer to him. Because when we realize he cares about us and he wants to spend time with us, and he, even though he has all of this world to think of,
yes,
he's so mindful of you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It will cause you to worship him and to draw near.
Thank you, Lord.
And so let's look at John 15:15.
It says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He calls us friend. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
He wants an intimate relationship with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to hear from us as well, but he wants to speak back to us. And he's not short on words if we would just give him our time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Ivy.
Prophecy also brings transformation. Prophecy brings transformation, a complete and total change. It's wonderful. We can, in the book of Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 18, we see Saul of Tarsus. This was Saul before the Lord changed his name to Paul. So Acts chapter 9, verse 10, it says, now there was a certain, I should also say that Saul killed Christians. He killed them. He killed their entire households because he felt as though that they were blaspheming God. And so Saul, he killed Christians. And this was the time when Christianity was new. Jesus had ascended. He was crucified and he ascended to heaven. And he was no longer on the earth. And so, you know, the disciples were going and preaching. And they found themselves in jeopardy when it came to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they didn't like that the disciples were preaching Jesus. And Saul was one of those folks who did not like it. He did not like it. And so he put posses together and they would go out and find Christians that were having meetings, having Bible studies, people that were preaching, and he would kill them. And so the Christians began to cry out to the Lord and ask the Lord to be spared so that they could continue their preaching without, being in complete and total fear for their lives. And Jesus heard that. And one day Saul was on the road to Damascus and he was struck blind. And when the Lord basically said to him, why are you doing this to my people? This is who I am. I am Jesus. I am the savior of this world. And the Lord struck him, and he became blind. And so let's pick up in verse 10. He says, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came,'" and understand, Ananias didn't know this, he's prophesying, "'Brother Saul, Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with Holy Spirit.' And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and he was baptized." Prophecy brings about a total transformation. Saul went from killing Christians to becoming a Christian to preaching and bringing thousands to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Personal prophecy is something that, again, we should not be afraid of. We should desire it. As Christians, we should expect to hear God's voice. It should be a normal occurrence. It should be an everyday thing. We should hear the Lord speaking to us. We should also expect, you know, the people that Pastor Rob has put in place to prophesy in this congregation come to us and ask for a word, and we will bring you one. We will tell you what the Lord has for you. We should expect that. It's good. Nothing to be afraid of. And most importantly, it's useful. It's useful. It has benefit. It brings it tells us purpose for our lives. It can speak of provision. It can speak of protection. We should want to hear the voice of the Lord. It was God's original design way back in the Garden of Eden for us to hear his voice. In Genesis chapter 3, it says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. That was his original design, for us to be that close to him. But his plan was interrupted. But now, you know, just because his plan was interrupted doesn't mean that he wanted to stop talking. He puts people on the earth. He puts people on the earth to tell you what he has to say. Seek those people out. If you need that, if you desire that, seek it out. Also, seek to hear God's voice for yourself. And so there's something that we are going to introduce here in our congregation. We're going to introduce an event called The Summit. And at The Summit, this is an event that's open to our church body and our church body alone. Now I'm going to say that again. Our church body. In our church body alone, this is not the time for you to bring a visitor, okay? The summit is an event where you can come and receive a personal prophecy, okay? And the people that will be prophesying to you are folks that have graduated from Insights Level 1. They will prophesy to you. Otis and I will be here. There will also be worship. We just want to go to a high place and hear the voice of the Lord. You will hear scripture of edification, exhortation, and comfort. You will have a worship experience, and you will also receive a personal prophecy. Our first event will be April 3rd, 4:30 to 7. There's a registration form out on the what's that thing called? The Welcome Center. Thank you. I knew it was. I knew we had a name for it. We had a name. So at the Welcome Center, there is a sign-up sheet. Please sign up so that we can have an idea of how many people desire to come and hear from the Lord. This is our first event, and so we just kind of want to get an idea of how much we need to prepare and how many groups we need to prepare for. So come, experience it. It's good for you. Amen? Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.